Truly, his grace is greater than all of our sin. And I think about the young fella that just ran out of here. Some of us may get to grace rather early in our lives or find grace rather early in our lives. But just like him, God is always standing open and waiting and willing to extend that same grace, even for those that find it a little later in life. Amen. So no matter when you run towards that grace, it's always standing ready and sufficient for you and I. And I also want to say thank you to the Handbells for bringing us this far musically, and also to Jessica Foster and Emily, thank you. And also to the chocolate fellow with the microphone as well. Hey, man, you were supposed to laugh. It's all right. Some of us are vanilla and some of us are chocolate. It's a beautiful thing. It's all right. And variety is the spice of life, and that's why we have places like Baskin Robbins. You can go and get what you want. But that had nothing to do with the scripture or where we were going, but we thank God for that anyway. And speaking of humor, God has such a sense of humor. And I thank him for it, because as I pondered over this scripture for a long time, yes, the miracle jumps out, and yes, spiritual blindness jumps out. But I said, Lord, I don't want to just always go with the low-hanging fruit, but in his own infinite wisdom, he has such a way about him. And so, speaking of blindness, this week I had to take both of my girls to the eye doctor, and I don't understand why it was just on one day, but so be it. That's the way it is. So on Tuesday and Thursday, we had to go. And on Wednesday, in walks Joanna Nijem after we check in. And I believe most of you know our own Joanna Nijem. And so she sees me with this big fat commentary that I'm reading. And she's like, "What are you reading?" I said, "Well, I have to preach this Sunday." So it's a commentary out of the library. So nevertheless, and I tell her the scripture, says, "Oh, the blind man." And then she talks about her story and as to why she ends up in the eye doctor. So when she was in seventh grade, she was at a baseball game and her dad asked, could she see something? And she said no. And just like any good parent, as soon as they got back to the eye doctor, they went. And she said she did not realize until she got her glasses that there were leaves on the tree. Oh, yeah. And so spiritually, some of us probably cannot see the leaves on the tree as well. But nevertheless, I love this chapter in John. And I'm also falling in love with the Gospel of John. He just paints such a gracious and wonderful picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And so this is not the first time Jesus heals a blind man. We also have Bartimaeus. We have a series of a couple of blind men that he heals. And there's some that they crawled behind him. They just followed him and inched their way through a crowd, and they followed him until he blessed and healed them. But this blind man, Jesus sees him first. And just a touch of background story. Jesus is coming from a rather ugly scene. They wanted to stone him in the synagogue because he had just got through telling them, he that is of God hears the word of God. And because you are not of God, you cannot hear the word of God. And you know they didn't like that. So they wanted to stone him. And so Jesus went and hid himself. And so the disciples are with Jesus when he sees this blind man. And I love what happens here. And I want to read this to you from the Mirror Translation. This is a rather new Bible translation. I shared this with the Christian Forum class a couple of weeks ago. And for your research purposes, you can find this. And as I said, it is the Mirror Study Bible. And so I'd like to read verses 1 through 4 from the mirror. And you can follow along with me. It says, on his way, Jesus noticed a man who was born blind. And his followers asked him, Master, whose sin is responsible for this man's condition? Is he punished for his own sins or perhaps for the sins of his parents? Now, let me stop there. They were under the impression from Old Testament teaching that the children could be punished for the sins of the parents. And so Jesus comes to dispel that, that it has nothing to do with the parents nor sin that the baby committed in the womb. Jesus answers emphatically, his condition has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with any sins committed either by himself or his parents. Neither him nor his parents were guilty of sin. This is an opportunity for God's action in Christ to be unveiled in him. We together must occupy ourselves to accomplish the work of him who sent me. And you must take sides with me. And I love how Jesus brings them into the fold of this, that we will be doing this work of God together. So yet again, Jesus sees this blind man. And as I said to you, this is not his first time healing the blind. But what I love about this particular miracle is it's not instantaneous. There are several steps to this. Now, there are some blind men that he healed instantly. And then we have one where Jesus had to touch him twice. First time he touched him, said, well, tell me, what do you see? He says, I see shadows of men, but they look like trees. Then Jesus touches him again. What do you see? And then he could see clearly. But we have another instant healing, and that is when the scales fall off of the man's eyes and he could see instantly. But what I love about this one is Jesus takes what we would put as discarded items, so to speak, spit, and dirt or clay, and he makes mud and puts it on his face. Now, why the mud? Okay, so I came across this particular thought. Well, maybe the man had deformed eyes, or he was born without eyes. And so when you think about us being formed from the dust of the earth, it would take that same dust to, let's say, reform his eyes. So that's one thought. But I like to look at it like this. Yet again, if you think about the two disregarded things, spittle and clay, we think of them as nothing, so to speak. It lets me know that God, through Jesus, can use even the least of these to do miraculous things in our lives. Amen, somebody. I forgot to tell you that I don't need you to be quiet on me. I need help. You can be quiet on Anthony when he gets back, but Kenji needs your help, okay? I don't mean any harm by saying that, but I need your help. Amen. Thank you. I don't want to be up here by myself. As Jesus said, we must do the work, so I need you to help me. Thank you. And that also means I'm not saying things that are untrue. But nevertheless, he takes the mud and he puts it on his face. So let's talk about the mud. The reason why the Pharisees were so upset wasn't just about the miracle, but it was a simple fact that Jesus needed the clay. So essentially, he worked on the Sabbath. So yet again, they were so concerned with the law and didn't have too much to think about the miracle, but so concerned with the fact that Jesus was breaking the law and not keeping the Sabbath. But let me tell you about the miracle. There are some things in life where God or Jesus has to do work for us in stages. Some of us have experienced salvation and deliverance instantaneous. I know of some where The day they got saved, they have said that God took away the taste of cigarettes, and they no longer wanted cigarettes after they got saved. But then I know some that had to work their way to put that pack away. So we shouldn't discount the extra steps that we have to take in our lives. If God has promised something to you, and you have to work to it to get to the fruition of it, don't discard it. Don't think God has forgotten about you. There are some things that we do have to work towards and work through. Do I have a witness here, somebody? All right. And so Jesus says to him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash your face. Now, yet again, be mindful that this is a blind man and you're telling him to walk some more. So not only is he blind, but he's walking with this mud on his face. And so people probably looked, well, he probably just fell, just let him be. And I had to look this up, but he had to walk at least half a mile to get to this pool. So there was a humanistic part of this particular miracle. And I also want to say to you, beloved, there are some times where our miracles are worked through our doctors. And it's not my testimony to tell, but there are some of you that experienced healing, and God did it through our modern day medicine. There are some that are free of cancer because through faith in prayer and going to the doctor are cancer free. That should have an amen for everybody. All right. So don't discount the humanistic side of what we have to do. So keep that in your back pocket. But another thing I love is when Jesus says to his disciples, he said, this man didn't do anything, and nor did his parents. But this is an opportunity for God to be glorified. There are situations in our lives where we think, oh, Lord, what did I do for this? Why is my lot so bad? Why is my situation so bad? It is not always your fault that things are looking bleak. Sometimes God is creating an opportunity for someone to be used for his glory. I think about a time, maybe two summers ago, where some of you all came to my rescue when I needed it. And I'm most grateful because God was showing his work through you. And so we do know that God does use us for his glory. And that brings me to the spiritual blindness. And Miss Shelby hit on several of those. And really, she should have kept going. Then I wouldn't have to get up. Amen. However, our spiritual blindness can come to us in many ways. We can be blinded by the law. Some of the things that we say to each other that aren't biblical or aren't of the Lord, we just say them. Oh, I tell you, I had somebody say to me, well, you know, Kendra, you shouldn't be fishing on Sundays. Sorry. That was my fun and my rest, amen. I wasn't fishing to eat, so it wouldn't work. But nevertheless, all kinds of things that we say to one another. We're blinded by our works. We think, well, if I bring enough loaves to street feed, I know I can make it to heaven. Oh, baby, that won't do it. Blinded by our status and blinded by religion. I shared this with Christian Forum about a year or two ago, and I had to check myself with this. Many of us have inherited the church. But what can happen is we will miss out on Christ. It's easy for us to take hold of the church, but you've got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've got to know, I have to say it again, Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. He's not coming to find out, well, who does Kenji Bolden Jackson say that I am to you? You've got to know him for yourself. And it is easy for some of us to have never been in a true contact with the Lord or encounter with the Lord. Because when we have a true encounter with him, he will change our lives. Through his grace, we will live differently, and the fruit of the Spirit will be made evident in our lives. And no one has to ask us if we're Christian. As the song says, for they'll know we are Christians by our love, in the way we talk, in the way we walk, in the way that we are. So I'd like to submit to you, beloved, that you do a spiritual inventory and check to make sure that you are illuminating that light that is Christ in your life. I also think about some people are beat into salvation. Well, Kenji, what do you mean by that? Well, you're going to hell for doing that. Or you're going to slide into the lake of fire for doing that. How many of you have heard that? I'm not saying you've done something like that. I'm not asking you to confess to that, but how many of you have heard that? I'm not trying to trip you up, I promise. But nevertheless, when do we win souls? By saying, the Lord loves you, and through his grace, he can change your life. His grace is sufficient for you. It doesn't just cover your sins, but it covers all of your life. His grace is for you. It's not just for those of us that have a couple of dollars, but even for the least of these, his grace is for all of us. And by grace, we are saved. I want to share a quote with you that I found by Creflo Dollar. And some of you might remember him. He used to be a very big prosperity gospel preacher. He doesn't do that anymore, but with a name like Dollar, I guess it comes with the territory. But I love this. Grace becomes great when we become nothing, and we can hide ourselves in his grace. We are covered by his grace. I think about the song by Dottie Rambo, Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. And it goes on to say, he looked beyond my faults and saw my.
Anybody?
Saw my needs. Oh, Lord, I thought this service would know that song. Oh, Lord. I guess I have a solo to do. Oh, Lord. I'm by myself. I love y'all. But nevertheless, you know, the Pharisees were so caught up with the fact that Jesus was performing work on Sunday. Oh, no. What they probably would have rather him do is said, I'll heal you tomorrow. I'll heal you on Monday or whenever the Sabbath was. But what I love is his grace looks beyond all of that dogma that we get caught up in, and it sees our needs. His grace looks beyond what we look like and even the worst parts of us, and it sees our needs. And that tells us that you and I ought to be graceful, because he's the light of the world, and with his light comes grace. I'm going to keep saying that word because that's what I want you to walk out of here knowing. That grace is the spiritual lens that we get to look at the world, because that is how the Lord looks at us. I heard this phrase and I absolutely love it. He took our sins and he threw them in the sea of forgetfulness, and he put a sign up that says, no fishing. Isn't that good? He doesn't go back and pull it out and say, oh no, I remember you did this. But I love it. He threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. And beloved, I want to encourage you to show that grace to each and every person in your life. And with the things that are going on in the world and in our country, I pray that we do not become spiritually blinded by anything. The enemy would love to keep us spiritually blind. He would love to keep us in a spiritual stupor. And you know, I don't know about you, but you grew up hearing that we're in the last days. Grandmothers have said it, their grandmothers have said it. And listen, if we are in the last days, that's God's business, because the word says, for no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man should come. But that's God's business. But this one thing I do know is that we should be about his business until he comes. That we should be winning souls until he comes, and extending that love and kindness that he drew us with to others, and not beating them with our Bibles, so to speak. I want to take you back to the Mirror Translation and read for you verses 34 to the end. They replied, "You were born in utter sin," and they're talking to the blind man, "and here you are trying to teach the saints." This is his second interrogation. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and he went looking for him. And when he found him, he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He doesn't ask him about the law, doesn't ask him about anything else. "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered, "Then who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "You have seen him, and he is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. "I have come to judge the world's blindness, so that they who are blind may see, and that those who think that they see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees overheard him and said, "So are we also blind?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say you see, and your sin continues. For anyone under the sound of my voice, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus the Christ and accept him as your Savior, and you too can experience this grace. I don't want to take it for granted and believe that the entire house is saved, but just on the off chance that someone has not made that step, won't you make it today? For his grace stands open and ready for you each and every day." And as I said about a little fella who was running after they left, that grace is still there, even if you find yourself running after it later on. So I dare not take it for granted that the whole house is saved. But for you out there and those listening online, God's grace is sufficient for you. And all you've got to do is trust and believe in him, and you shall have everlasting life. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who truly is the way, the truth, and the light, who came that we might be able to experience your grace. And we thank you so much for it. Lord, we pray that someone under the sound of my voice has heard your word and will start to live a graceful life, and that their spiritual eyes would be opened. And that also someone under the sound of my voice that does not know you in the pardon of their sins will come to know you for themselves. We pray that you will continue to walk beside us, and that as your grace continues to shower down on us, Lord, let us not take it lightly. Let us always be grateful recipients of it. that your grace causes us to see. Even when we're wretches undone, you thought so much of us for us to be called your children and to live in this grace. And so, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We pray this prayer in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.